Now, regarding the matters you wrote to me about, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. But because of fornications, each man should have his own wife, and each woman should have her own husband. After addressing the three most serious accusations against them, namely causing division in the church, tolerating a sexual offender, and condoning greed, he transitions to a gentler tone of speech. He includes some discussion and advice about marriage and virginity, offering listeners a break from more difficult subjects. However, in the second letter, he reverses the order. He begins with less severe topics and concludes with the more distressing ones. Here too, once he wraps up his dialogue on virginity, he dives back into topics more related to reproof. He doesn't maintain a strict structure, but alternates his content based on need and the urgency of the issues at stake. Therefore, he states, "Now about the matters you've written to me." Because they had written to him asking, "Is it appropriate to abstain from one's wife or not?" And in response to this, and providing guidelines about marriage, he also introduces the discussion about virginity. "It is good for a man not to touch a woman. For if," he says, "you inquire about what is the outstanding and highly superior path, it's better not to have any relationship at all with a woman. But if you inquire about what is safe and beneficial to your own weakness, be united by marriage." But as it often happens, even now, that a husband might be willing but the wife not, or perhaps the opposite, notice how he discusses each scenario. Some indeed suggest that this discourse was specifically aimed at priests. But I, drawing from what follows, could not confidently say that this was the case, since he wouldn't have given his general advice. If he were writing these things only for the priests, he would have said, "It is good for the teacher not to touch a woman." But now he's made it universally applicable, stating, "It is good for a man, not for a priest only." And again, "Are you free from a wife? Don't seek a wife?" He didn't specify, "You who are a priest and a teacher," but left it indefinite. His whole speech consistently remains in the same tone. And when saying, "Because of sexual immorality, let every man have his own wife," by mentioning the very cause for the concession, he guides men towards self-control. Let the husband give the wife the respect she deserves. Similarly, the wife should give the same respect to her husband.